Good evening and welcome to this week's episode of Let's Talk. Today, my guest is Dr. Sunday Oluwaseyi. He's a businessman who talks about the power of partnership and his testimony in the marketplace. He talks about how the force of righteousness can be brought to bear in a secular marketplace to show the evidence of God's kingdom, even in the ordinary things of this world. I'm sure you're going to be blessed by this interview.
Africa. And now here's your host, Chim Onyibilanma.
Hi there, and welcome to this week's episode of your show. Like I said in the introduction, my guest today is Dr. Sunday Olorunseyi. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chief.
What I want to do is look at a book you wrote with Wisdom. Mm. It's this book I'm holding. It's called Our Partnership Story, The Pertinence Way. First of all, let me say, why did you guys decide to write this book?
All right, thank you very much, Chief. We observed that in our part of the world, people tell many stories about the things that are not working. And not that we don't have things that are working. We do have, but we don't just talk about it enough. So when you see people talk about failed marriages, it makes the younger one don't want to get married because they just feel, what's the whole essence? Whereas you have so many marriages that have been working for 50 years, for 60 years, but because we don't tell these stories, we don't encourage other people to follow that path. Mm. So we looked at Africa and we realized that we don't have too many success stories of business partnership. Mm. Even if they existed, nobody tells these stories. So we told ourselves it's going to be a redefinition of how we want people to perceive partnership. Mm. So by writing this book, we're encouraging more people to collaborate because we have come to realize, just like the saying goes, that if you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, you go with people.
Wow.
Business in this age and time thrives on strategic collaboration. Mm. And the more people you have on board growing with you, the better it is. Mm. So the book is just to help people see that business partnerships can be possible, it's workable in Africa, and they can achieve so much going together.
So the book starts right from there. It talks about your antecedents, really your roots, not just where you were in the very beginning. Mm. So tell us a bit about you yourself. Where were you in the very beginning when you were just meeting up with Wisdom?
Yeah, obviously we had just come out from working in an organization that kind of failed because a pretty large organization in the financial service sector. We both worked there. At some point, things looked good while we were working there, but when the business started nosediving, they couldn't pay a number of factors. So we're almost at below ground zero, let's put it that way. And that was when the genius in us had to come out, when we started asking ourselves questions. So what does the future hold? And in answering those questions, we came about starting what we call today the Pertinence Group. For me, I didn't come from a rich background. I would say below average. My dad served in the military, and we grew up in the barracks. And we learned how to relate with people of all culture, all tribe. There was no segregation. You know the barrack kind of lifestyle?
Yeah.
That was where I grew up. Went to a military primary school, military secondary school. So that already prepared me for what the future holds. Mm. But I think one unique thing that stood us out growing up together, that's Wisdom and I, was the fact that we discovered purpose early enough in life. So starting on that pedestal, it made it easier for us to keep growing because it is purpose that has kept us till now, and we believe purpose will take us to where God has planned
Amen.
For us.
Amen. Yeah. Tell me about your encounter with the Lord. Where did you meet the Lord? At what stage of your life?
All right. Thank you very much. I grew up to know Jesus early enough, at the age of 17. Mm. And I feel that's quite early, looking at what's going on in our world today. And from that point, I've not gone back. I'll be 44 in a few months. Mm-hmm. And if you take 17 out of 44, it tells you how long I've been on this journey. And getting to meet Christ, I got sold out. Mm. And when I say sold out, I mean sold out. Mm. From age 17, I started participating actively in the Teenagers Fellowship, rose to become the president at that level, later became the district president, and we had over 70 churches under my district then. Mm. I grew up at Foursquare Gospel Church, and you know, Foursquare has branches spread across you know, the world. Mm. So at a point, I was district president, part of the national executive. I left church to the university. While on campus also, I tell people that I'm a full-time Christian and part-time student. Even though I was in the school as a full-time student, right? But my commitment to the kingdom was next to none, because I just believe that all that is it about me came from God, and I have to give it all to Him. So while on campus, I grew to become the president of the campus fellowship too. I left for NYSC as the NYC, at NYC too, that's the National Youth Service Corps. I was also the president of the fellowship far in the north then in Kano State. And it's been like that all the while. Now, when I left the university, people just assumed that naturally I'll become a pastor. Because if you check my trajectory, it has always been a leadership position here and there. But I know I hear God, and I'm so glad that I was able to seek His face to know exactly what He would want me to do. And interestingly, I found purpose in business. I'm glad to say that I'm one of the few people that are apostles in the marketplace today. And being in the marketplace has not limited me from impacting life. By the grace of God today in the marketplace, people get employed, people that never thought their life could make any meaning. They get employed and they work with us, and they see the practical hand of God even at the workplace. There are people that have not had children, they've been married for years, just by working in our organization, they had children. We had people that had wanted to get married, they come to work in our organization, they got married. We have people that were sick, that just by joining the organization, and I'm talking about terminal illness, they got healed and they are doing well today. And that's in a place of business. Because for us, we don't shy away from the fact that ours is a covenant business. It is rooted in God, and we are unapologetic about it. That's why when you come to our workplace, since inception, over 10 years ago, every morning, we hold a 30-minute prayer. It has become a culture. So even those that join us from the other faith, they just got used to it. We don't force them. It's more like optional for them. But they come, they pray with us. Why do they do that? They've seen practically that we are not just praying. Our lifestyle teaches Christ. So it's not about being a pastor. So today I don't have the title pastor, but I'm blessed to be a blessing to people, even in the marketplace.
And that's what being an apostle in the marketplace is. It's not so much the title or what you say as much as what can be seen in your life. Correct. Let's talk about this partnership. At what point did you and Wisdom decide consciously, look, we're in partnership? Because there's friendship, first of all. Correct. And look, we're going into this partnership and we are building together.
All right. So when we left where we were working together, both of us were doing it solo. Like, he has businesses or things he wanted to do. He tells me about it. I tell him. So at some point, we sat down and asked ourselves sincere question. And I asked him, so Wisdom, what exactly do you want to do? Have you been able to craft out your mission and vision statement as it has to do with your career? He shared with me. And he also asked me. I shared with him. And we realized that we are heading in the same destination. And we just told ourselves, I think it will be a good one for us to work together. It wasn't as if we planned the partnership that we're going to become partners. It was just conversation, asking ourselves about what the future holds for us. What picture do we have about the future? And when we shared with each other, our destination looked alike. And we held our hands and said, let's go together.
That's what you call purpose. That means you have purpose. The same purpose. Partnership has to have a foundation of purpose. But I want to go into the issue of how you were able to work together, because with purpose, you both have similar purpose, but you're different.
Correct.
And you had to learn each other. Tell us about the early stage of having to learn how to partner together, how to work together, how to understand each other better, especially in the business world.
Yeah, one of the things we did early enough was to identify the skills that we have that are complementary. We identify the skills that we have that also kind of they are unique to each of us. And there are a number of things that are not exactly the same. Mm. All we did was to bring this together to form the strength of the partnership. But early enough, we also realized that there are so many things that we might not be able to do alone. Mm. So the foundation of the business was laid on enterprise development and people empowerment. Mm-hmm. So even when we did not look like it, we started a training program. Mm. And the purpose of that training program is to raise people. Mm. So if we talk about pertinence group today, we always say it's all about the people. Mm. So we identified our own strength, we identified the areas where we needed help, and we started training and raising people. Mm. Now, the story we told them then, we asked ourselves, if we were the one, will we ever believe? Because we weren't looking like it. But before us, we tell people sitting before us that, see, in the next 5 years, this is where we'll be. In the next 10, just painting a picture of a future. But we did something too. We did not just paint that picture. We helped those people to see themselves in that picture. And they stuck with us. Today, the business is over 10 years. We have people that have been with us from inception. Mm. We have people that have been there for 9 years, for 8 years, and still counting many of them like that. But we're grateful to God that we are not just blessed today. They are also blessed equally. Just by daring to believe in these two young men and working together with us.
There's a chapter in the book where you talked about decisions. You said chapter 6, critical business decisions we made. Tell us some of those key decisions that influenced everything you do.
Okay, I think one of it I mentioned earlier is investment in people. Now, we knew we needed products to sell. But for us, we realized that even if you have the best of product, if you lack genuine people, committed people, it's just a matter of time you will wear out in business. No matter how big your business is, if your business needs you to always function, then you don't have a business yet. You are just a self-employed person. For example, as a businessman, I travel around the world. There are times I'm even not in the base of the business, which is Lagos, for 6 months stretch. I've done 7 months outside of Lagos. But because we have built a system around the business, and every system functions with people, it's easy for the business to run on autopilot. So early enough in the business, we took that decision that this business was not going to be about both of us, that we wanted to build a conglomerate. It's not about building a business for our children to inherit. We are not saying our children will not have a part of it, but it's a business that anyone can come in from a security man or a gate man and become the CEO. And we have seen that happen because today the business has several subsidiaries. One of the subsidiaries, the guy that headed it at some point, he has gone on to start his own business too, came in just as an intern. And from being an intern, grew to become a manager, from a manager to a general manager. And at some point, when we needed to appoint CEO for one of those subsidiaries, he became the CEO. And this is a subsidiary doing business in multi-billion naira. That's an example of building system and building it around genuine and committed people.
People are going to get a lot by getting this book you're talking about unusual collaborations, a kind of communion that's possible even in the sphere of business. And I can just imagine the kind of multiplication that kind of agreement will bring. Let's look at the whole journey of pertinence. Where are some highlight moments for you as you look through the last 10 years that you say, look, Chim, these are three times I remember that I think there are things I want to highlight that part of our history, that milestones.
Okay, I think the first highlight was when the business started. and we had nothing. And when I say nothing, nothing. All we had was a dream.
There was nothing in the bank.
So I remember one of those days, I got married not too long, and I needed to go and see one of my uncles just to say, oh, I'm married now, you couldn't come for my wedding. And I sat in front of him, and he asked me a question then. And that was the question, if you ever asked us then, know that you have 45 minutes to spare or 1 hour.
Okay.
So he just said, Sunday, so what are you doing now? That was the question. We were on the dining table. He could not eat for the next 45 minutes. When I started saying, we're this is the vision we have, we're moving from here, we're doing, and I know he must have been looking at me. This is someone that's a top military officer, like, is this not my little... Now, by the time I got through, he just said, wow, a military man, top military, he didn't say anything. 2 weeks later, I got a call. We're out making presentations because we had nothing then. Mm. All we had was making presentations about what we want to
get
do
some buy-in.
To get people buying. And he just called and said, Sunday, so you shared all of those things with me. If I give you 1 million naira now, what will you do with it? Oh, my God. And I said, so I now started
explaining
all over again. He said, okay, you guys should send your account number. I'm going to send 1 million.
Wow.
And just agree on how you're going to pay it back, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And that was how we had our first break. So for me, that was... And with that, interestingly, we are not even incorporated the business. And we shared so much. So from that money, we took part of it, incorporated the business, and that was how the journey began. Mm. For me, that was one.
A major milestone.
Now, there was another point where... That was when I said the business was challenged and we had a lot of crises and finances were down. And I remember that day we just called our team. We were in the office till around 12:31 a.m. and we're just strategizing, thinking of what to do. That particular day, it was 31st of March. Now we cracked the code, and 1 a.m. that day we decided to do a video to talk to the public about an offer that we wanted to do. And we tagged it, this is not April Fool, because the next day was going to be April 1.
Yeah.
And we released that video. Both of us did a video and released. Now, the resources we needed that we could not accumulate in almost 1 year, within 24 hours, just by sitting together till 1 a.m. to crack the code and shooting a video that same night to be released before people woke up the next day, we were able to raise that much. For me, that's a major one. But the ones I love the most wearing the things that happened to us. But when we got people empowered. In the course of this business, we've given out over 100 cars. We have taken over 400 people out on all expense paid trip to different parts of the world. We've given 4 houses to people. During COVID, we give thousands of people money just to support them. All our houses that we own during COVID, we told people not to pay rent for at least 3 months, knowing how hard things were. For me, these were the highlights, the biggest of it all. Not the things we achieved for ourselves, but the fact that we were able to fulfill our vision, enterprise development, people empowerment. Today, we have over 1,000 people that have earned in millions working with us. It's not just those 1,000 people. Their families, knowing the way Africa is, their wives, their children, their extended family that benefits from their connection with us. For me, that's the biggest highlight. That's what gives us fulfillment. It's not the cars we drive, the houses we live in, or how well we travel around the world. But when we put smiles on people's faces, when we use our business, not just to make profit, but to make impact. For me, that is the biggest. And every time I see that happen, I get emotional, because when you look at where you are coming from, you had nothing, but today you are making people millionaires.
It still comes down to purpose.
Purpose.
Driven by purpose, focused on purpose.
Purpose.
Building people.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about you before we round up. You're married and you have children.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your family, just a little bit before we round up.
All right, thank you. Interestingly, my wife, we grew up together in the same church. So the teenage fellowship that I joined from age 17, I met her there. She got born again before me. So she was born in the church, grew up in the church. So I met her there. So we got to know at some point when I was the president, she was vice president of the same fellowship. And all of those times, we never knew that at some point we're going to get married.
Wow.
You know, later she got admission into our own university. I went to the university, and it was around that time that our relationship started. We started courting, got married. Immediately we both graduated from school. I was just a year ahead of her in the university. So immediately we graduated, she was still having her youth service. We got married that year. And it's been interesting. Today we are blessed with two kids. One is 14 and one is 12. And they are all doing amazingly
You've been married for 15 years
15
now.
15 years.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful because you're building up heritage right there. Let's round up by saying this. You wrote this book with wisdom, with a conviction that partnerships like this are possible all across Africa. And I think it's a blueprint you're sharing with others about how they can replicate something like this. There are pictures in it about your journey. And I think this is one of your
one of your facilities
where your business is housed. You do believe sincerely that people can replicate what you've done.
Definitely.
Why do you believe so?
Yeah, we looked at ourselves and where we started from. And we told ourselves, if we can do it, then any other person can do it. It's just a function of finding purpose, finding a problem you want to solve, and being courageous. Ours is a story of resilience. Not as if all the road was smooth.
No.
But we stayed resilient. So in Africa, we have so many problems. And what it means is that we have so many opportunities. So if you can keep your eyes fixed, identify the problem you want to solve, and stay put to
and find the right people, the people that have
the
same purpose as you,
and go in the same direction, then you can make it happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially if you know it's grounded in God.
Definitely.
Listen, it's been such a beautiful conversation.
Thank you so much.
I probably will have you guys back on this show at one point.
Oh my God. That would be great. It would be our honor.
Because there's so much inspiration I mean, people need to know this kind of thing is happening all across the continent. They need to hear about this. Listen, we can't go further than this. Dr. Sunday, what is your last word? And say something to our viewers.
Thank you very much. For me, I believe that our life should be centered around God. Because even after we have worked and achieved everything, everything, and I mean everything, there's always that void that is there when you don't have God. So I challenge everyone that does not have a relationship with Him to consider doing that right now. Thank you very much.
What a beautiful way to land this, because you know, this could never have happened without that relationship with Christ. And what an opportunity that our brother Sunday is granting everybody. If you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, if you know you're not born again, if you know that you can't say truly, like Sunday or Wisdom, who was here a while back, would say that I'm a child of God, then I would like you to use the contact on the screen. Contact us right where you are today. Open up your heart. Give your heart to Jesus. We'll send you some materials that will help you in your walk with Christ. But Sunday, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for what you've built for others to follow through.
Thank God.
God bless you.
God is
and thank you for watching this week. Bye for now. Hi there, welcome back. I trust that you were blessed and encouraged by that conversation with the businessman, Dr. Sunday Olorunseyi. Now, before we go, I want to share with you another conversation I had with a mission leader in the East African block of Africa. And we'll just be looking at the challenge of evangelism in East Africa and the opportunities that exist there. Don't go away. Hi there and welcome back. Before we go today, I want you to join me in a Zoom conversation with a mission leader, Dr. Francis Kashimawo. He is the regional director for Calvary Ministries CAPRO. This is a mission agency that works in over 40 countries in Africa, and they have over 800 missionaries. Francis will be joining us, and I want to chat with him about the challenge of evangelism in that region. Dr. Francis, or Dr. Cash, like we call you, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and God bless you. Yeah, Dr. Kash, tell us a little bit as we start of what God has been doing in East Africa region.
Well, in East Africa, what God has been doing takes the eye of understanding to be able to appreciate it. You know, first and foremost, we think about stability in governance in most of the countries in East Africa. Without peace, you can't do anything at all. That's one. Number two, terrorist acts are really being contained in many of the countries. The governments are doing a lot of things, which is very, very encouraging. It looks secular, but they are very important. And there's increasing regional cooperation in movements and trade within the region. For example, Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda are having a good way out. And again, there's the inclusion of Congo in the East African region through their collaboration. These are important things that helps to, you know, stabilize the region and make things easier, even for the gospel. And talking more closely at home, you have increasing awareness, even though it's not enough, of the unreached people groups, you know, in East Africa. People have been playing churches before, but there's increasing awareness of that. And there's increasing indigenous missionaries who, although many of the churches are still not really supporting them, they are like freelance missionaries.
Kash, in your opinion, what would you say is the state of evangelism in East Africa?
There is still a lot to be done in East Africa. The religion was massively evangelized in the 20th century, owing, you know, much of the gains of the East African revival. Maybe you've heard about that. And the subsequent moves of godly people of God, especially among university students in the 70s and 80s. However, missionary awareness is still, you know, grossly inadequate. As a result of this, very little focus, not enough focus is on the UPG. But that's the state generally. There's church, you know, practicing church per se. You know, there's a difference between church and pushing forward the frontiers. You know, it's the pushing forward to frontiers that one is more interested about so that you can have the return of the Lord.
In your opinion, Dr. Kash, what are some of the challenges you feel are facing the work of reaching the unreached in East Africa?
Number one, there needs to be sustained mobilization within the churches. Mobilization for mission, awareness, and mobilizing men to come up. That is needful, because the awareness that people can be involved in missions as a church body, you know, not just individuals who come out as freelance, but as a church body, that awareness needs to be sustained in terms of mobilization. Number two, there is not enough effective partnership and networking among churches that can be improved on. There are, which I can give you examples later on, but definitely there seem to be more of agencies and organizations that, you know, collaborate missions. For example, in some of the other countries I know, we may have a national body of mission organizations. You know, some of them are still yet not formed at all. It's just church-based. So effective partnership needs to be improved, you know. There is still, number three, is the unhealthy dependence on Western and external funding, rather than developing local resources to fund missions activities. That's important. Local initiative. Yes, it may not be enough. We may have, you know, as a body of Christ from everywhere to everywhere, people, you know, coming in to help. But you have to look inward and go ahead and do something with little you have, not waiting for, you know, or being dependent. You know, depend primarily on the Lord. And whatever space he gives you to work on, you work on it. So there is that kind of dependence on, if there's no partnership with the Western world, there's no mission. That's not correct. You can have much more people with the little they have going to places to work. Such challenges. There needs a lot of awakening in that, you know. Then there's a need for Bible discipleship, you know. It's not just playing church, you know, playing, you know, speaking the right jargon. You know, deep biblical understanding of discipleship, followership of the Lord. That's important. Followership of the Lord, you know. Lord determining and the experience like that is needful. because you can't fight an unseen army if you don't have the Lord as your leader. You know, you must look at everything and see through him and follow him daily, you know, carrying your cross and then, you know, following the Lord every day. That is necessary. So that depth of discipleship needs to be improved on. Those are the four main challenges I can quickly think of, and they are very key.
So Dr. Cash, what are the needs in your opinion?
Yes. One of the major needs that you have is to have mission training. You know, mission training is not the same thing as Bible school. They are different. Mission training prepares you to be anything or everything to every person that you meet. You know, learning languages, you know, learning to live the life with the people, learning to work in a team, different kind of things that are required as a missionary. There needs to be training. It's not just Bible school. We don't see that many. For example, Capro is trying to, you know, have training school in School of Missions for cross-cultural mission training. You know, so there is a need for that. We have about 10 acres of land given donation by one of the few hands we are seeing who gave up that one completely free. You know, we just pray for the transfer, but you need to build that. And that's costing about $1.8 to $2 million to be able to build it, to that also can carry the amount of workforce you need to train. We're still looking for that. So training is important, major need.
Could you just share with us, what can an individual who is watching this, or churches or pastors who are watching this, what can a congregation or an individual do in the light of all that you have shared with us?
So people can pray, people can give, people can go. You know, so everywhere in the world, you can, once you have the ear and you are interested, you search out. The individual can search out what is happening and look for, you know, fundable, you know, credible mission bodies generally. So that can happen. And then the pastoral care, which church leaders can do, because when you have a pastor who understands and is able to pastor even missionaries far away, it helps a lot. It helps a lot. So individuals can be involved in different areas. Another one is that, for example, national leaders in all the countries can be part of what will ease out visas for those who are going to work in, because we are going to have people coming from within East Africa and beyond East Africa, even up to who may want to come in as missionaries. You know, so everyone can be involved. Everybody, anybody from anywhere in the globe can be involved. You know, particularly pick a people group and begin to pray.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cash. Thank you so much. That's been Dr. Francis Kashimao, Regional Director for East Africa with Capro. Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to talk about the kingdom and finding the lost sheep, you know, and bring them home, and hastening the return of the Lord, which is quite imminent. But everyone needs to be put our hearts on deck. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. And thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this week. This is where we draw the curtain. Please do join us next week, same station, same time. Thanks.